Gonna be ready in last one, and then I'm ready to go on to the next thing. Okay.
Yeah.
Corey Perry, fucking baseball swing to the chiclets, right? To the beak, to the nose.
Yeah.
And like, hacks off half of it.
Yeah.
And he touches his face, blood all over his hands instantly. And he looks up with that dirty fucking face of a bird. And he just like, what? He just like shrugs at the ref with like half a fucking nose.
No call.
Straight Michael Jackson. And like, oh, dude, and he comes back, they stitch him up, they go on to lose that game.
No, that's only one in
they won that game in OT. Yeah, high fives all around when he got the stitches. Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Hoser's Panel. We're coming to you live from Mike's basement right now. We're doing our first in-person pod together. Going to be interesting. Of course, I'm Tyler Kropman, and I'm here with Mike and Taylor.
Yeah, what's going on, Ty?
Good, man. A little different being on the couch with
you. Yeah, this is so weird.
This is another step up for us.
No, I love it.
Next step, live stream. Well, it's another step.
Step down.
A little linear.
Step to the left. Yeah. I don't know. We're in person. We're together. It's going to be fun.
How you doing, Mike?
Dude, I'm doing good. We went out golfing last night, or yesterday. I got a story to tell you about Tay.
Oh, yeah.
So, Tay, we're playing a match game, me and Tay against my brother and my dad.
Yeah.
Father's Day edition, you know?
Yeah.
And we're on the ninth hole. Taylor's about 130 yards away. Great shot, just a little too far. You know, over the green a little bit. There's like a walking trail around the golf course. So I think it was probably around there is where he hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this old lady walking along the walking course. And she like, looks down, like sees the golf ball, looks up. And I was like, oh, she's going to take this golf ball. Like, it's going to be gone. And then she like, looks up and like holds it up. And we're like, yeah. And she just chucks it back
to, yes!
To like 5 feet beside the hole and takes half it in for a par.
Yes!
Yeah, it was the nicest shot I've ever had in my life.
That's the best.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
I was hoping she was going to throw it.
Me and my brother were fighting to see if it actually counted. And I was like, nah, that's clean. You got to play it where it lies.
That's so funny. Oh, the apple from the old lady.
Yeah. We won by one hole, so, you know, she was the...
Damn.
She came in clutch, yeah.
TSN turning point.
Yeah.
Showed on the replay.
But I'm good, dude. It's been a good week.
Yeah. Man, the weather's dope here. Victoria's a happy place right now.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
A little hot, but I can't complain.
Yeah, it is
a little toasty.
Man, it is so weird, like, not being in front of a computer to like, get all the facts out. Like,
100%.
Like, oh, like, what are we going to talk about
100%.
Now?
100%. Like, yeah, usually I got so stuff strange. All over my desk. But, yeah, I think we kick it off with some of these awards that got shelved out here this past week.
Yeah,
yeah, they're announcing awards after, or, like, during each period, or during each game, like, after the first period. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how they're doing it? I didn't know.
So every night in the semifinals, there's been, like, an award announced or something's come out, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm right.
Yeah, you're right.
Is there an order? They end in with, like...
Yeah. Or is it just... I assume. I have no idea. I haven't done any research on it, but...
I didn't know they were doing that.
Do we want to, like, find the order and go off that way, or do we want
to... Nah, just fine. Just go whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Just... Who's got what?
I know the Lady Bing was announced, and Jacob Slavin was the winner. I think the finalists were him. I have no idea.
I have zero idea who the finalists are.
No clue.
Was there even a finalist? Like, maybe? I don't know.
There must be. There must be three like nominees for Lady Bing, though.
Yeah,
or is it just voted and then they... Shit.
I don't know.
That's for sportsmanship, no?
He's the fourth ever defenseman to win it.
And that's voted by the league players, isn't it?
Oh, man.
That one?
Yeah. I believe so, yes.
Yeah. The Players Association or some shit? That's awesome.
Ah, we had Jacob Slavin, Jared Spurgeon of the Wild, and Austin Matthews were the most gentlemanly player award.
Oh, there we go. For the gents.
For the gents, yeah. So good for him. I mean, he had, like, I think two penalties this year.
Wow.
One of them was delay game. And he's like he's a number one defenseman playing against top guys every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Like, incredible.
It's literally just his award, basically.
Wicked.
Yeah. And then, obviously, some lesser trophies. Not that they're lesser, but maybe not talked about as much. But the King Clancy, that's like community outreach, right? Like,
yep.
Players that do the best in the community. I think Pecorino won that.
I don't know if I've ever even heard of that. Editors. The King Clancy.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
Wicked.
I think.
Yeah. I just feel like I remember that name, too.
You have finalists there?
I do. Curtis Gabriel and PK Subban.
Right, yeah. Oh, so yeah, PK. Rene came on top of that. That's a good one for him.
Nice.
And then Bill Masterton, perseverance, right? Like the
perseverance, dedication to hockey, dedication, kind of thing. Yeah.
Who went through like a tough one? Obviously, Oscar Lindblom, being diagnosed with cancer last year, and then like getting back on the ice this year and playing some NHL games. That's pretty incredible. You can't. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no really any way to give it to anybody else.
Yeah. Nothing really else to say.
Out of curiosity, were his numbers not bad? I
have no idea.
They're fairly good.
Off the top of my head, I remember him being on a couple score sheets. Like, I don't think they were nothing to shake at. I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. 8 goals, 14 points in 50 games this year.
Oh, hell yeah.
So not bad.
Yeah. Coming off the cancer. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead. The two bigger awards that have been announced so far, we got the Jack Adams Coach of the Year. I think finalists were...
I love this award every year.
Dean Evanson of the Wild and Joel Quenneville of the Panthers.
And Rob Brennamore of the Canes, and Brennamore won.
Those are three good coaches.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's a tough one.
It is a tough one, and it's interesting because Brennamore was talking to the media after he won, and he wasn't like super thrilled with winning. Obviously, like... He'll take it and he's happy, but he was pretty upset because his team didn't win, right? And
yeah.
He was like, "How do you give me Coach of the Year if I am knocked out in the second round?" I mean, I get it because it's like he was saying like you should make it Coach of the Regular Season, not Coach of the Year, because I didn't do what the ultimate goal was for my team. So
fair enough, a little hard on himself, but yeah, fair.
Yeah, well, yeah, totally. I mean, I don't know. You look at a guy like Barry Trotz, who is taking this Islanders team, who every single game that they've played have been the underdog. Like,
yeah.
nobody has... Maybe, I think we were saying, like, the one of the games in the first round against Pittsburgh, they were the favorites, but he takes this team, and they're tied 2-2 with the defending champs in the semifinals. So, how do you not give it to a guy like that, right? Mm. If, obviously, playoffs don't account for it, but... and then last but not least, so far the winners has been announced for the Selke. You have the finalists for the Selke?
I do. I have Bergeron and who was the other? Mark Stone, of course.
Bergeron, Mark Stone, and then Alexander Barkov, and Barkov ends up winning it. Rightfully so. Guy's unreal.
So sorry, Selke's for
defensive forward.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, dirty.
Which somehow,
good for him.
Like offensive numbers kind of play a part in it as well. Unfortunately,
I think it's like you just have to be like
that's kind of
top
a bar.
Line, top six kind right. of thing. And if you're like really good defensively, but don't put up those kind of points, you're kind of like playing third line. You're probably playing like 13 minutes a night.
Yeah.
And who's that against again? He was against Barkov. Was against
Bergeron and Stone.
Ah, wow, that's still pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
One guy I think maybe a little bit underrated that maybe could have been up there a little bit more, Phil Deneau. I mean, he didn't score a ton, but man, the guy is...
Take away a machine?
Yeah, he's playing first line minutes against like the best in the league. And is obviously doing well because he's in the semifinals against Vegas. And it's not like they're getting blown out either. So
brings a fucking pizza to press conferences. Yeah. This guy needs a fucking trophy for sure.
Yeah. Anyways, that's it for the announced winners for the awards so far. I think they're doing one, like we said, every night.
We'll get one tonight.
In between intermissions, first and second periods. So, yeah, there'll be one tonight in between the first for the Tampa Islanders game. So
To go back to what Brindamore said about how it's coach of the regular season, not coach of the year. See, I don't mind them voting before the playoffs because then when they go to vote for the GM of the year when it's after two rounds, the teams that just made the final... four or just the GMs that get selected. I understand coach makes a bit more sense if they did like the like after the second round.
Yeah.
But like GM's job is like throughout the entire year to look at a lot more things other than just coaching a team.
Totally.
And it's like they announced the finalists as Bergevin, Lou Lamoriello, and Bill Zito.
Yeah.
So Bill Zito the only one not in the final four.
Right.
He's Florida, but like you look at the years that they did. Like, Bergevin brought in, like, Tyler Toffoli.
Yeah.
And, like, that's about it.
Well, Jake Allen as well.
Jake Allen,
gave Carey Price a little bit of a rest near the end of the year. But, yeah, it's very much like a, like, quick fix kind of, like, let's see if we can add a couple players that will help us this year kind of thing. He's kind of got all his eggs in this year, right? Like, next year I don't see them being better than they are this year. They've got a few contracts they need to sign, so.
Unless Carey Price can keep doing it, then yeah, that's true. Basically it.
He's only getting older, too.
Plus, if I were to factor in, like, I know you don't, but if I were to factor in, like, the past season and a half or two seasons, like, Montreal's made it. Like, it just feels like their team's changed a shit ton in that time. Maybe not, like, all in this year, but
yeah.
That team looks so different to me. Like, as this year progressed, I was pretty amazed, like, all the names on that team. I still am. Like, the lines that are on that team are, like, it's kind of like, man, how did all those guys get there so quick? Like,
yeah.
All the team looks so different.
It's so interesting, though, Mike, like, you bring up, like, if we were to vote at the end of the year, obviously you'd give GM of the year, coach of the year, to the team that wins the Stanley Cup,
because
they're obviously doing something right? Like, but it was just interesting to see, like, yeah, you have Bergevin, who, like you said, maybe brought in Tyler Toffoli on a pretty good contract. Maybe made a couple depth trades to, like, round out his team or whatever. But you have guys like, I'm not being biased here, so, like, please don't shit on me for this, but Tampa's GM, Julien Brisebois, he literally circumnavigated the cap by, like, $18 million this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's fine. I mean, some people don't love it, but it happens. It keeps happening. And they're obviously doing well, and you have guys like, I think Lamoriello is a great one, a big win at the deadline. I think even Zito too, taking a Florida team who really hasn't done much, in the last like 30 years and finally make the playoffs and finally like do well. I mean, obviously they lost in the first round, but it was a close first round matchup, and, yeah, I think it's great, but I think there were other guys out there for sure that deserve to be in the running at least, or maybe in the top three rather than Bergevin.
Yeah, like I think Joe Sakic did a good had a good off season, bringing in a couple guys.
Not bad.
I think Zito's a fair pick, and I think that's why he's the only one who's not in the playoffs right now. I think that shows that he's an actual nominee instead of a thing. But I mean, for GM of the year, it's so weird to like it should be
it takes more than a year.
Exactly.
Everything takes more than a year.
It should be an award that gets voted on for like 3 years down the road. Like the 2018 GM of the year should be voted on now. Because then you look at like the draft that they had, the free agency, where those players are now, like everything.
It'd be cool if they made like a 4 or 5 year deal and then it was like actually a big deal when you won it and it was like, you know, people were crying over that shit. Yeah. Like then it would be cool. At this point, nobody fucking
GM
wants
of the
it.
Decade.
Or I guess GM's a different one. But yeah, I don't know. I'd like that. I think that's a good way to go. It's way more about the GM's making all the little deals and making all the good signings now way more than it is the guys acquiring the big pieces anymore. I think you need the big pieces, but you need them from square one and you need these like every year small tweaks to get it right.
Well, depth drafting as well. Like you see these teams that take guys in like the 5th, 6th, 7th round who don't pan out for the first couple of years. Obviously you don't know that they're great picks until like 4 or 5 years down the line. You can't vote on how well they drafted that year because you don't know how well they're going to be, like, in 4 or 5 years from now. So, it's a tough one for sure. The criteria on which you're voting on is kind of, like, up in the air. It's not really
concrete. It's not right there's no right way to judge it. Yeah. It's just the criteria is not right. You're right on.
It'd be funny if they did it, like, 4 years in advance to see how many, like, actual winners of the award were still hired with that team.
Yeah. I mean, we could go back and look at the previous GM of the years and see. Here, I'm
where they were.
I just meant, like, if they did it, like, 4 years in advance.
Right, yeah.
Or
like,
4 years behind.
You might be a good offseason one.
You won GM of the year 3 years ago. Too bad you're with a different team now.
You're Canned 2 years ago, but, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a weird.
It's one they could look at. They could probably do better for sure.
Yeah, and coach of the year too. Like we were saying, like it's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I agree with Brendan Moore. I think it should be regular season coach of the year, and then playoffs be a completely different one. Obviously, the final award being the Stanley Cup.
It's weird that the GM award is the only one that gets voted on mid playoffs, and everything else is at the end of the regular season.
That's
the one that gets voted on.
Yeah, that is super strange. We want to get into what's going on in the playoffs.
We jump into a series?
Yeah, where were we last?
I think only thing that happened was Islanders game 1.
Jesus.
We recorded before Montreal Vegas game one.
Okay. I thought, wasn't there both game ones done? No?
No. Like, tripping? We were recording the same day of Montreal.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But it was, they've been fucking fun to watch.
Yeah, what series do we want to start with?
Let's start with Vegas.
Vegas, all right. Sounds good.
Dude, Petrie coming back.
Yeah, man.
He's possessed with the dark side. He's got his red lightsaber and his fucking red eyes, and he's just coming out. And you know what? He played a pretty good game. Like, he's right back to... He did not look well, but... I also heard it was mostly a look bad thing. Like, he was pretty healthy. Yeah. That's what I was reading. Yeah. It just looked like hell.
Yeah.
Well, he's got his, like, he has all those eyes things just to forget about that his two fingers are sewn together because he freaking snapped them in the glass.
Yeah, the camera hole.
Yeah.
Did you see there was a video of Bergevin down by the camera hole, like putting the plug in, twisting it, like pulling it out, like checking in on it. Like, so he's obviously pretty upset with that, but,
rough.
Yeah, kind of rough. Not great. What else happened in this series? Man, can we talk about Paul Byron?
I mean, talk about everything.
Yeah, Paul Byron came back.
Nuts, right? Paul Byron, I think, has been like in and out of the lineup.
Yeah.
And
what's his deal? What's his injury?
No, he's healthy.
Is he? They're just fucking health popping him?
Has he played every game or not?
He's got an A on his chest, for God's sake.
He sure has played every game.
Sure? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, there we go. Fuck me.
He's got like 5 points this series, or three maybe.
He came
three
back late series, though, yeah. Right? Like, he was not there all year.
No, he. Or he was yeah, in he's and been out. He's been in and out of the lineup all year. I think
he was guess. Injured.
I remember when you came back, like they were doing really well, and it's kind of like, do we bring him in because we're?
Yeah,
I think that's kind of where they were at.
Yeah,
he was injured for like 3 weeks at the end of April.
There we go.
Yeah.
I remember there being a bit of controversy.
I just have a note. Like, every single time he's in the lineup, he is an impact player. Like, you're seeing it. He's scoring important goals for the Habs and getting them going. And, yeah, it's just awesome to see that, you know, like, it's not that... The Habs are such a weird team because it's not that, like, superstar first line that we're used to seeing on a lot of these teams. Like, like Vegas, like Tampa, like Colorado, like there's no
super depth.
Yeah, it's all depth and guys you wouldn't expect to like step up and score a goal like Paul Byron.
Very diverse lines too. Yeah. Starting to interrupt, just like, man, like what's their third, fourth or fourth line? It's like Perry, Stahl and like Armia.
Yeah.
Like those guys cycle and just like shoulder everybody off the puck like till they don't want to. The whole team gets a big rest.
Yeah.
And they're just deep. They're dynamic. They can do a lot of different things with different lines and man, Cole Caulfield. He looks great. He reminds me of Barzell for a season. Like, no one expects the hands of the speed. So he catches so many players flat-footed. Or, the goalie... He makes a pass, I think it was game four. Four or three. He makes a quick pass from, like, the right side to the middle. And I don't even think they're on the power play. And, like, nobody has time to move. It looks like Fleury barely even sees the pass get over and, like, barely reacts to the shot.
Yeah.
And the setup's just so crisp and clear. He probably has, like, three or four dribbles before he gets it over. I mean, he's just very impressive. It's remarkable to think he wasn't playing in the first couple of games, but he looks like he's really surprising people on the ice, and like that's in this series, I didn't expect that.
His breakaway goal, he just like comes down. Oh,
look like McDavid.
Yeah, he just like the quickest release, and it's just top corner.
That
like,
quick cheese, that quick chip. Yeah, like that's unexpected.
You give him any time and space with the puck, and he's gonna burn you every single time. Yep. He's so good. That's the one thing. If he doesn't have the space, then he's still getting used to the NHL game.
Yeah.
But as soon as he gets a little bit of space on the ice, he's like dynamite on the power play, or like even down 4-on-4. Like when there's space on the ice for him to skate the puck, he's so good.
Yeah. Of course, Price. I mean, we say it every week, but I think you have to in this run. It's been amazing. 2-2 right now is the series. Best of three now. And now we're going to... Who's the next game at?
It's in Vegas.
Vegas, right? They'll have,
But yeah, game three. Vegas looks like they have it. And then, two minutes to go in the game. And just a harmless ring around the boards that Fleury bounces off his stick. Then he spins because it goes into his feet. And then he kicks it basically right out front. Josh Anderson breaks his goal streak. Or a goal slump with just tapping it in. And then great play on the OT winner as well. Josh Anderson like gets a pass to his chest and bats it down. And I don't know who it was that skated onto it with him. Was it Oh, it was Paul Byron. Byron just has the whereabouts to know where to be, and then he fakes a shot and just slides it over to Anderson. He just taps it in.
Yeah, dude, that giveaway by Fleury, that was unexpected, eh?
Mm-hmm. Game right game. After Pierre Maguire is just like, yeah, Fleury's puck handling sure has played a difference here for Vegas. And then that happens. Just something pops like that. Into that, just, yeah. Just loses it in his feet.
I was just going to say, we saw earlier, and he's always been an emotional goaltender. I talked about in the earlier pods how we're seeing a lot of his frustration, just his emotion. You see it all the time. And we saw even more of it there. I just feel like it's even more exaggerated, even if by a little. I feel like I'm seeing more of it, which is just, to me, it's so much. Like, he goes the complete other way goalies kind of do with, like, showing his hand. Like, he shows exactly how he feels in his head. Yeah. And, like, yeah, the way he reacts, like, the gosh darn it arm swing.
Yeah.
And then the swing in his stick. And this is where he grew up. He's playing in Montreal. He's in their arena. He just gave him life. He brought him back in this game. And, like, I don't know, especially that it's happened 3 or 4 or 5 times. I actually have no idea, but it feels like too many in this playoffs. Yeah, like, how do you look at that anymore? And, like, if I see that and it's 2-2 now and I'm in Montreal and my goalie just looks, like, flustered, lost, not right, not ice cold, then I'm looking, like, I'm not confident. Like, that's not good for the team. It's not a good look. It's, like, happened too many times from a professional goalie when you got a real team, you're far enough that you gotta treat this like it's a cup run. And I don't know, he's not dialed.
Yeah,
he did that like a lot of times earlier in his career, like in Pittsburgh and like the when they were on their cup runs and everything, like 2010 to 2012. There was a lot of like goalie gas by him behind the net.
Yeah,
like a lot.
Right.
Yeah,
and it's so weird because every night is different with him. One night he looks stellar, lights out. You're so confident in him, and then the next night, like, he's so shaky. You have no idea when the puck's gonna go in the net. Even in that game, like, he looked pretty good before. Right? Like, he was doing well, and then it's just that one play that all of a sudden it's like, fuck, you can't trust Fleury at any point. And the Golden Knights know that, and that's why they went with Leonard in game 4. Like, they were hard pressed to make that decision, but I mean, obviously it paid out. They won the game 2-1 in OT.
So. I think we're seeing same old Fleury, but I think, like, you never want to admit it because you see so many spectacular performances from him, regardless of his age. And you never, but I think he just Father Time's catching up. He's undefeated as always, and he's finally catching up to Fleury here. I think we're really seeing that he's just kind of dropping to another tier. He's still gonna have those nights, and I don't know when those nights are ever gonna go away. But yeah, but I don't know if Leonard's ready, playoff ready right now either. Like, they're on their heels in my eyes right now, other than going home. And they're in a position where they don't know who their goalie's going to be. And at least they're not confident in either, I don't think. And that's kind of tough.
Like, the one thing about Fleury's play style, especially against this series with Colorado, I kept seeing it. But every shot looks like he's fighting it, like, and it just somehow stays out of the net.
Yeah.
Like, his play style is just so kind of like Jonathan Quick. You know, he's just sprawling everywhere, and somehow the puck just always stays out.
Mm-hmm.
But... yeah, other than this year, like, Fleury's numbers haven't been great. There's a reason why they got Leonard in the trade deadline.
No, it's just so true.
Because Fleury's numbers were just, like, untrustable.
Yeah.
And then this year, obviously, he has a good regular season, but that really seemed to have to stop some point, and it looks like it might be now. But, yeah, I think starting Leonard was a risky decision, especially how it went last time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, credit to DeBoer, it worked out. I don't know if I would have had the balls to make that decision.
What was the score that game?
2-1.
2-1? Okay. Just held on.
I think, I think Leonard's our guy. I think
he starts game 5.
Yeah, I think he starts game 5. I think they probably move on from Fleury this offseason or maybe next year before the trade deadline.
Kraken, here you go.
Oh, he's got 1 year left at $7 million. There's been a couple teams that are interested, notably the Pittsburgh Penguins, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
I think they definitely move on from him. I don't see how they can continue to have that tandem battle in net with when they have a guy like Leonard signed long term 5x5. I think last year he signed, or this year. This is the first year.
Yeah, this is the first year.
So they need to prove, or he needs to prove, that he's their guy, but he just needs to step up and do it. And he can, and he's a good goalie, and nothing wrong with it. Like you said, Mike, they were just riding hot hand, and Fleury had an unreal year. Unreal first couple of rounds. Obviously started to look shaky, but yeah, it's so funny when he had that misplay behind the net in Montreal and threw the puck out front. He was like on top of the crease after they scored with his stick up in the air, like ready to slam it down. There's a snapshot of like that, and the stick's up, and it's like a picture. Somebody tweeted, they're like, "Man, it's great to see Marc-Andre Fleury celebrating with the Montreal Canadiens."
That's funny. Pretty good.
Yeah, unfortunate for him, but yeah, I don't know. I think his reign is over. Obviously, with the Penguins, he was so good. Really helped them get to those couple Stanley Cups, but. I think, I think, like you said, Ty, he's coming down to a different tier, and he's going to slot into maybe like a 1B backup position at some point soon with the team here, and really just go from there.
This offseason will be key if they are moving on from Fleury. There's a lot of guys hitting the market.
Yeah.
Vegas has established himself as a winning team, a team that's competitive every year and beats the odds, goes far, has earned a reputation as a top team now.
Yeah.
And they can't lose what they have in that. They need if Leonard's not enough, like they need to make sure they take a shot at Rask, they take a shot at Anderson, whoever else, just someone. You know, they need to have a couple, because they can't lose their goaltending when you got that kind of scoring and you got that kind of crowd and you got this kind of culture there right now. It would suck if they take a huge goalie hit next year,
I think they believe in Leonard for sure. I think that's a guy that they can trust long term. I think if Fleury didn't cost $7 million a year, they'd probably hang on to him this year.
Yeah.
But because his cap hit's so high, I think they kind of have to explore moving him.
Mm-hmm.
And they could bring in somebody who's just as good as in the backup position for half that, maybe even less. So. It'll be interesting for sure to see what they do. Chandler Stephenson not playing is big for the Habs. And it's so interesting because each series that they've played, that top line center has not been there.
Yeah.
I mean, Tavares, Matthews, they're interchangeable. Obviously, Matthews is a little bit better. Tavares getting older, but still, Tavares was a big hit there. Mark Scheifele being out for Winnipeg, and now Stephenson. Obviously, Stephenson being the lesser of the three names, but still, he's their top line center.
Still great, yeah.
Still a great centerman. Developed huge chemistry with Stone and Pacioretty. So, they're the center killers apparently. So.
Yeah. So if they make it through, look out Barzal and Point. Make sure to bubble wrap those guys.
Exactly. And then I got a fun stat here. I wrote this down fucking before games 3 and 4, so stats changed. So I'm going to read the stats now, but they were so much better before. But the Habs have won 9 of 11 when they score first, but it was 9 of 10.
Hmm.
And they've lost every game that they've been scored on first, except for game 4. So it was they were 0 for 4 when scored on first. And 9 for 10 when scoring first. But now it's changed. 1 for 5 and 9 for 11. Like, fucking
boring. Oh,
yeah. Anyways, it's interesting. Obviously, the first goal really matters to them.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
And I think it might be partially, especially in the first goal, because they don't have that offense.
Yeah.
Like, going up and then just putting the defense and Carey Price on it is
totally
basically their game plan.
Yeah, they're more comfortable with the lead.
Yeah,
holding onto the lead than trying to come back makes sense.
I also think it's like how do I put this? When you're down in like and you're the opposition, like trying to score on Carey Price when you're down must just be like the biggest gut wrencher. You know what I mean? Like
makes sense.
Every time he robs it, you're just like fuck, and then every time they get another one, you're just like even more deflated.
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot of really young guys on the Habs team. Like they even got, who's that one D man? I don't know who he replaced. Game one, he had a massive open ice hit. He just stood a guy up. Some guy coming in on 1-on-1, and they mentioned him, and I tried to remember who he was. They said he was 19 years old, and I didn't recognize his number.
Romanov.
Didn't recognize his name. Yeah. And I was like, what? And That was game one. I don't know if he stayed the whole time, but...
Let's have a look.
Man, maybe it was Petrie he replaced, so maybe he was gone. But I was pretty impressed with him. Big guy. I had long hair.
Big, Romanoff?
Maybe. Big boy.
27? Fuck. Kulak?
Oh, man.
Kulak's not 19.
No. That's what my first guess was, but he said 19.
Because I remember thinking that hit was nuts. And then, like, a period later, they were, like, talking about him, showing his highlights, and they showed that hit. And I was like, no way, that kid's 19? Because that was really impressive. And that's when I was just thinking, like, man, these guys got Kokkinemi, and they got this kid, and they got Caulfield. Like, that's quite a few young guys. They got a lot of old vets, too. But I just think it's interesting. Like, you don't see that many young guys, that many 19, fresh guys in on a playoff team this deep.
Yeah. Edmonton. Fucking Romanoff was their youngest D in game one, and he
not even close. 19 is he?
21. Oh, so he's close. He's
close. Maybe I just misheard, but is he a call up or anything? He played all year.
He played in and out most of the year, but
okay. Maybe I misheard him, but I know it was impressive, and I just was like, man, they got a lot of young guys playing like big parts, and I was just impressed that a team could get that deep with this many new players playing big roles. Are you guys ready to move on from this series? Or
I think so.
Okay, before we go to the next one, can we hit a couple, just a couple middle things before?
Yeah,
we
do?
Okay.
Yeah,
I want to talk about Rick Nash going to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Nash, he's now going to be just an advisor to. Oh God, Jarmo
Kekalainen,
thank you. So, oh no, wait. He was the advisor, and now he's the director of player development.
Yeah.
So there we go. So that's kind of awesome. A cool one. He's, to me, like, the star when I think of Columbus Blue Jackets. Totally. I always think of him and all his crazy goals, 1-on-4 he was doing all the time. So, yeah, I can't wait to see just if that has an impact. I'm just happy to see him there. That makes me proud.
Yeah.
I thought that was notable. And then one other thing I had was just Jason Spezza talking about...
Going back to the Leafs
for $750K, like, the minimum.
Yeah.
And saying that he'd take less if he could, which, I mean, says a lot. And then he also said, went on to tell the media that he doesn't care where he plays. He just wants to play on a good team for no money.
Yeah, he knows that Toronto's going to be good and be in the mix again next year. And obviously he likes it there. It's his hometown, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
so why wouldn't you?
I respect him not saying that it's just that, though. I like that he said that he wanted to play on a good team. To me, it's like a... You know, it's like... It almost is a bit of a stab at, like, for a Leafs fan. It would be like, well, you know... That shouldn't be the reason in my eyes as a Leafs fan, but then again, like that's a mature, sick way to look. Like I don't, you know, like that's number two that I'm from here, but I want to win is what that tells me, and totally. Like that's kind of powerful in itself. And the way he played this year, signing for nothing and saying all those things, I love that. Like this shows a lot about his character, and this guy's got real drive. So this is definitely what the Leafs need if that guy's willing to do that for him.
As long as he continues to play at the level that he has been. I think there's going to be a time where he starts to drop off, right? Mm. And obviously, they're only giving him one-year deals because it could happen at any point. Yeah. So
watch him ask for the trade, too. They just start bombing. You guys suck.
Yeah, like, send me to Tampa.
Send me to Tampa, Boston, anywhere but here. You were going to say something? I cut you off, Mike?
I got one other note. JT Brown just announced his retirement, and he's got hired on as the first... analyst for Seattle Kraken.
Whoa, really?
I
didn't know that. That's awesome.
Whoa, cool.
Yeah, so a cool hire from...
Ex-Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a beauty.
Minnesota and... I can't remember the second team. I know he played in Seattle. Minnesota.
Yeah, definitely in Minnesota. I have no idea where else he played.
Okay, I have two more.
The Ducks. That's what it was, yeah.
I have two more and I'm ready to move on.
Beauty.
Okay,
where are we with Kirill Kaprizov? Do you guys know?
Oh, I forgot about this.
Yeah, we're not forgetting about that. Good. He's my boy. Are we losing him to Russia?
No, so...
It's tough, man. Maybe.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah. If the Wild...
What's the status, though, like on this situation?
So I'll find a tweet here.
Sounds like a bit of a standoff here.
Basically, he's an RFA, right?
Right.
Yeah. So he has... If he's going to sign in the NHL, he has to sign with Minnesota or be traded. His rights have to be traded.
Even if he goes to another league?
So if he goes to another team in the NHL,
okay, sorry,
he has to be traded.
Right.
He can't just sign, like, he's not a UFA.
Or they do the offer sheet, but yeah,
and
right.
And then he stays in Minnesota. Right.
Okay, pardon me.
So, to get leverage, for his contract.
Yeah.
Thoughts are that he's, like, saying that he's going to talk to teams in Russia. And, I mean, fair enough, he could be genuinely, like, hey, if you're going to pay me more money, fuck yeah, I'm going to come play hockey for you. Because he probably doesn't care.
Also, I kept reading that the Olympics were, like... He keeps saying to play in this Russian league and to play in the Olympics. Right. So, yeah, again, we're not sure if the NHL will for sure be there. So I guess that is a big factor. Like, if it's a dream or something, might be enticing. He'd be a hero.
I think they have to still, like, iron out a couple things.
It sounds like it's not concrete, but it might not happen. So, that might be a factor.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I could see that for Russia, too. Like,
that's disappointing.
Yeah. It is disappointing, because that might be a factor, right? And that's bullshit. Yeah. We shouldn't have players not want to play in the NHL, young, amazing talent like this, because they want to represent their country, which is totally understandable.
He was obviously he's going to win the Calder, but he was, like, the most exciting new player to watch.
Oh, electric, like, electric. He took over a couple of our first podcasts. We're talking about fucking Minnesota. seriously.
So true.
We know him. I appreciate this guy a lot. I wanted one of those retro jerseys with him on it. Like, I thought this guy was fucking the man. So I hope I hope he just stays in the league. I don't care how, but NHL, don't lose this guy. Jesus.
Yeah. So just to bring everything to light. So Kevin Weeks tweeted out about it. What was it? Thursday or so? And he's saying, as of now, talks with likely rookie of the year Kaprizov and Minnesota Wild have gone cold. My understanding is he is in Moscow, and it's believed SKA is interesting. CSKA?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is interested in signing him for the KHL and the Olympics. Okay. Yeah, like we said, it could be just a ploy to get more money because he doesn't really have any other NHL teams to be able to, like, leverage his salary. But then Michael Russo, who's, like, basically the main Minnesota Wild reporter for The Athletic, he said the Wild and Kaprizov agent say Kaprizov was at a buddy's wedding in Moscow. His agent gave the team a heads up. As for the CSKA rumors, that's really his only option besides signing with the Wild, and they will offer him a ton of money, so expect those rumors as long as he's signed there. And then as far as negotiations, Kaprizov wants short-term so far. Yeah. Wild's offering him long-term.
Yeah.
And as he's reported, it's gonna be a tough negotiation. And then he said, once again, the Russian option is his only option, so that'll be the leverage as long as it's unsigned.
My last question for this topic is, that should drag on, right? We should see this go on at least a while, if it's going to be taking...
I don't think this will be a contract that's done in a week.
If it goes in... Would it go into next season, or that one made sense? Because he should be playing somewhere, right?
I would assume that he doesn't sit out.
He wouldn't hold out that long. Yeah, I agree. I was just kind of curious if I was missing something there, but...
Well, the Russian season starts early, so I would guess by the start of the Russian year, he has a contract somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah. Yeah,
but if anyone was going to take him late in the season, it would be Russia, though, right? Like, they'd be like, fuck it. Like, all the money. We don't care if you miss games. Yeah. We need you. Yeah.
I would assume that he will probably go to whoever's going to pay him more and, like, make that decision maybe, like, a week before he should be there to play.
I don't see him signing in Russia. I think he came here. I think he had a good enough year that, like, if...
Same.
If he was that content to go to Russia, like, now...
Yeah.
Like... Why did he come over for a year?
Right.
Like, it's especially not like, to do this well. Yeah,
it's and not then, like he tanked. The team was like a solid team.
Yeah.
They took Vegas to the edge.
Seven. Yeah. Jesus Christ, man.
So, I mean, I don't know. I can't see him leaving.
Yeah, the only thing is if Bill Guerin and the Wild decide not to pay him what he thinks he's worth.
And I don't think that's a problem.
I hope he doesn't get too much just so the team can be good. But, like, I hope we don't see another one of these, like, oh, he gets the minor $10 million and then, like, you know, where the fuck do we go from here thing.
So they've got quite a bit of space.
I'm sure that team does.
They better. They're not great. But, yeah, even if he wants to stay in the NHL and he's not getting the money he wants, he could easily just go to a team, say, hey, I want this amount of money. They say, sounds good, and then Minnesota just signs the offer sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see him leaving. I think it might just be a little overblown because he played in Russia and because he is Russian. I think the Russian factor has kind of just taken over the story a little bit too much.
Because it took him so long to come here, too.
Yeah.
Okay, are we ready? And last one, and then I'm ready to go on to the next thing. Okay,
yeah.
Corey Perry fucking baseball swing to the chiclets, right? To the beak, to the nose.
Yeah.
And, like, hacks off half of it.
Yeah.
And he touches his face, blood all over his hands instantly. And he looks up with that dirty fucking face of a bird. And he just, like, he just, like, shrugs at the ref with, like, half a fucking nose.
No call.
Straight Michael Jackson. And, like, and he comes back. They stitch him up. They go on to lose that game.
No, that's only one.
They won that game. Yeah. No, see. Yeah, high fives all around when he got the stitches. But
he came back out because he was in the room, like, getting fixed up. When the boys won, he like, comes running out the other way of the hall and, and gives everybody the high fives and the hugs as they come off the ice.
Yeah, and they were fired up to see him. But once again, I love what this guy brings. And also, yeah, just quickly, is that punishable? Are we going to see a sussy there?
No, I don't think so.
Dude, can you imagine if it was? It was Marsha's show. Yeah, whatever. Sure. It'd be fucking GG.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I find it weird. I don't think they'll look at it either, but I was like, that's pretty pretty fucking gnarly.
You'd have to have some pretty good intent to go on a suspension for a high stick.
Yeah, but it's just, it was such a nasty swing of the, like what, if you were even aiming for the puck, like, are you going to hit it?
Yeah.
No, that's a wild man swing. Anyway, I just wanted to miss that, but let's go to this next series here. We got New York Islanders and the Tampa Bay Lightning, of course. We're sitting at 2-2.
Yeah, both moment. Series 2-2.
Yeah, that makes it interesting.
Yeah.
You want to take it away today? What do you got?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's been close, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been chess back match and forth. A bit. Yeah, a big time chess match. Honestly, if it's not for Andrei Vasilevskiy, this series is over.
Yeah.
New York's been all over Tampa. Tampa's capitalized on a few opportunities they've had.
Very sneaky play from the Islanders.
Yeah.
It's a lot of like meat and potatoes, like passing around, cycling, like basic shit.
Dumping
and then they will quickly sneak in a quick opportunity out of nowhere. One power move to like a skip pass and that's it. And then a rebound. And you know what? They just hammer the puck at the net. Like, they're looking low pad for rebounds a lot. And Vassie's doing a great job of kicking them out.
Yeah.
Way out and away from people. But there's just always Islanders around the net. Their formations are, like, beautiful. They do a really good job of being in the right spot. But, I mean, Tampa always executes their game. I just have been amazed at how sneaky. They look like they're doing nothing. And all of a sudden, it's like, whoa. Like, they got a couple of chances. And, like, you're breathing again when they get back out of there. Yeah. Or they get one. But also their barn. Their barn is electric.
Yeah, the Islanders barn,
holy
it's crazy.
Shit, I was a bit surprised by that.
The Barzell line's going. The Nelson line's going. But honestly, I think the Pageau line, which has been their best line all playoffs so far up until this series, I think they're hurt.
They are
looking quiet. And then the fucking identity line and Kyle Clutterbuck, Casey Cizikas, and Matt Martin are fucking throwing bodies. Just in everything. So, yeah, Tampa's got their work cut out for them. I mean, obviously, it's 2-2, so best of three now at this point.
Braden Point, though.
Yeah, fucking Braden Point.
Dude,
he's just gonna burn him up.
Is his signature move the up close one deke chip over?
Oh man, he's just.
If he's up there with it, he can shoot it. If the goalie doesn't see him, the goalie sees him. He's going one way right over your shoulder.
Yeah,
it's nasty. I think I've seen forehand or backhand like three or four times just in this playoffs, and. Yeah, like he seems to always be him in front of the net. It goes in, you're like, hey, who's this? And he's on the ground, diving, play, whatever it is. That guy gets it in. So he's putting up a real performance. Like if they get through right now, it's Vassy and Point.
Yeah,
all the way.
Yeah.
Do you see the goalie interference call on Braden Point in I think game two?
Did they call it back? I didn't.
No. So he gets the puck and he's going in. And he's basically got a breakaway. It's close. I don't know. And I think it was Mayfield.
Yeah,
was like right behind him. And he cross checks him in the back. Point's got maybe half a step to stop and not like
basically on crease, right?
Yeah, and not kill Varlamov. And he like flies into Varlamov, has no chance of stopping. Varlamov's hurt, has to leave the game. I think concussion protocol pulls him out. Sorokin comes in, and then Varlamov comes back.
That was when
later.
He came back in. I was wondering what the hell happened. Okay.
And then they called Point on goalie interference because he was like fucking thrown into
I've seen
net.
That highlight. I knew as soon as you said Mayfield what you were talking about.
So it was so interesting. But New York goes on the power play and ends up scoring. I mean, it didn't change the game. Tampa still won. But if that was a game changer, like that's a shitty call. That's a really bad call.
The refing has been bad this series.
It got worse.
Like, we were saying round three. Round three has been horrible.
Yeah, we're saying it wasn't that bad. Now it's fucking bupkis.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's bupkis. Brutal, man. It's brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's tough, man. Like, obviously, yeah, I don't think it should have been a penalty. It wasn't goalie interference. He was literally thrown into the net, had no chance in stopping. Although, I kind of like the call. I feel like if nothing happened, I mean, maybe take two at that point, like take them
cross check on a goalie interference. Yeah,
totally. Yeah. But if nothing happened, like that's when it gets out.
Could
of
be a slower down penalty, yeah. Like just a one of those control the play.
Especially with that Islanders team, like they're fucking scary sometimes. So
well, you know what? I want to talk about that too many men on the ice. Now that we're because it's kind of the same thing, right? Like remember how they didn't call that one?
Yeah.
It was a little controversial. And I can see it going either way there, because
totally.
That guy was—he's not. They're not really in the play that, like, but there is six guys in the like. The picture says it all.
Yeah.
So, but same thing. I'm like, man, if they call it, it changes the game a lot, and you don't have to call it. But like, that's a really, really big call. So that one, it's almost the same situation to me. And like, both of them, I could see going either way. And this is those are two good examples. This series is that tight, and like, that just calls like this are like so iffy. But I don't even know which way I'd call it.
Yeah.
So
true.
Man, last game, Islanders go up 3-0, and it's like, okay, you know what? Tampa's still, it's Tampa, right? They can do anything. And they get two quick ones in the third period to make it a 3-2, and they kind of just kept fighting. And then with 2 seconds left, they're digging out the puck in the corner, and somehow Ryan McDonagh is naked, like top of the circle, hash marks kind of area. And I think it was Josh Bailey, like, lays out, gets in, like, and then McDonough's like, oh, gotta, like, quickly turn around, goes to his backhand, and basically shoots in an open net because Varley bit so hard. And Ryan Pola comes in with the skate and the stick and the glove and just makes an incredible save to secure the win.
Crowd, dude.
Disgusting.
I got chills just thinking about the roar when that happened.
Yeah.
And you know what? What a play from McDonough. Hit that on net.
Yeah.
I must have watched his effort like way more than I watched Paul.
Yeah.
The save, because I couldn't believe he could stay on his feet just enough to get it all the way around. Looks like he's falling the entire time, and he manages to get one leg up and just spin around for it. So yeah, props both ways, and because of that play, we've got a hell of a series now. Like, geez, we're neck and neck again going back to Tampa here.
Both these series are up for grabs. I have no idea.
Yeah, anybody could take.
Did they both steal one at home? Like both did both series steal one? Go 1-1 at home in the first two. Yeah. So the home ice isn't even playing a clear advantage for anybody.
No.
No, it's kind of crazy.
It's a good one.
This is sizing up to be something special at the end.
Yeah.
I actually didn't expect this to be this tight.
Yeah, me either.
Either side, actually.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, we were looking at not blowouts, but like. Quick, easy series.
Yeah, a little bit of a mismatch for sure.
Yeah.
I got a cool stat for Tampa, which, like, I know this team inside and out and really had no idea up until I heard it the other day, but Steven Stamkos is the only forward to be picked in the first round on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Wow.
Every other forward was taken after the first round.
That's cool.
That's incredible.
A sick stat.
That's, like, that's fucked.
That's one of the best NHL teams of all time.
Yeah. And Stamkos is their only first-round pick in the forward group.
That
obviously
says
the defenseman,
a ton.
Two.
And look at the kind of player he is. He's not even like a he's not even a guaranteed full year player like these.
Yeah.
Like he's not. And like, and you keep and he's still there. And he's your only first rounder. That's insane. What was he picked?
First.
First overall. For that's epic, man.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's
crazy.
That's a leader. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I love that.
Hedman was taken second, I think, the year after. And then...
Luke Shen,
I guess, is a first-rounder. He's not really in the lineup all that often, but that's fine. Sergachev was 9th overall, and then Bass was the 14th.
Yeah.
But that's it, man. That's, like, I was like, wow. Like, that's insane.
Yeah.
So, pretty cow. Cool. Pretty
cool. Very cool, man.
Anyways,
any ideas on where that's going? I mean, I don't know. I have no idea. We don't re-predict it, but that one's just a hard.
And McDonough was also first rounder.
Was he?
I thought so, but yeah.
12th
overall.
12th. Oh, I was like
long time ago.
Yeah, 1943. And not picked by Tampa. No, definitely not.
What else?
That's, man, we did really well to break that
we
down.
We fucking cruised.
You got 5 minutes.
I was going to say, do we just call it there?
We might want to. Nice, I don't got a lot call. More.
Yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, it was good.
Same. In person might help.
In person was great.
Yeah, we should do this like every week. It was great.
This in person was good. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Live stream will be the next big step for us.
Yeah.
We'll try to be ready for that one. Hopefully we can get one coming soon, but Ty's computer is fucking hamster shit out on him. So
yeah, that's the only reason we're doing this.
We'll be doing these maybe a bit more often until I get a new one. Looks like a week or two away, but
I like that.
Ty's hamster had a rough night. Yeah. Didn't wake up in time.
He was boozing with me. It's like Ricky and the Trailer Park Boys. I'm just drinking with my hamster all night, then he can't run my computer the next day. Classic. Anyway, I think that'll do it for this week, fellas. Episode 27 in the books. We'll be back next week. Probably another in-person Hosers panel.
Yeah, and like always, we'll probably forget something and remember 20 minutes after we finish recording and then swear at ourselves. But
the giveaway. How's?
Oh, yeah.
Do we doing that today?
I think we'll announce the winner when the cup final is starting. So then they can take the pick.
So after the semifinals, we know which two teams are in the finals. We'll announce who wins so they can make the pick for the series.
Oh, that's sick. We're going to ask them to pick too. That's dope. I was telling a bunch of people from my work that said they listened to get in on it. So rooting for you guys.
Yeah, it'll be great. We've got a lot of good entries. And if you want to enter, just head over to Hosers Panel on Instagram and make sure you go through the instructions on that post.
Yeah.
Right on.
Right on, fellas. Well, we'll see you at the same time, same bad time.
Sounds good.
Mike's same basement. Time, same place. Fucking rights.
All right, Hosers. See you later, boys. See
Go Bolts.